I have used a lot of commerce platforms in the past. By far, the most robust is Shopify. No matter how complex your business needs and no matter how large your business grows, Shopify can handle it. And they do handle it for brands like Rothy's, Ruggable, Allbirds, Knox, Magnolia, Brooklinen, Glossier, and Cotton, to name a few. You may already use another e-commerce platform and you may be super unhappy with it, but you've already put a lot of work into it and migrating to Shopify could seem impossible. But I'm here to tell you that it is quite easy. When I migrated to Shopify back in 2022, their apps and tools meant I just had to make a few clicks and everything was ported over as if by magic. Shopify also lets you design your storefront however you like, which from personal experience I know isn't the case for many other commerce platforms out there. All these features and all this control can result in more sales more often. So stop leaving sales on the table. Switch your business to Shopify today and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their businesses. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial at shopify.com/practical, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/practical. shopify.com/practical.
Virtue is its own reward, right, Prokopton? You've heard this before, I'm sure. Well, we're going to talk about it in today's episode. Is it true? And if so, which you just know it's going to be, why is it true? I am going to get salty in this episode. I'm going to take some swipes, but that's just how it's got to be sometimes. Before I lay waste to the hypocrisy that is, geez, everything, I guess, let me thank a few new patrons. Thank you to Felipe Vargas, to Amanda Comar, and to Trident, who I can only assume is the guardian of the sea himself, Poseidon, and I am grateful that I am finally getting the Olympian god attention I have felt for so long that I truly deserve. Thanks to each of you for being part of what makes this my full-time job. Hopefully you'll stick around after I scorch the digital earth of the internet with this episode. And by the way, if you'd like to become a patron because you're not already one, you can go to stoicismpod.com/members. Here's the meditation we're pulling from today. It is meditation 11.4, and it reads, "Have I done something for the general interest? Well then, I have my reward. Let this always be present in thy mind, and never stop doing such good." Let's start by cutting right through the BS of anyone listening to this episode thinking that they're on a pedestal. And also, of course, through the BS of anyone hosting this episode who might think the same. None of us are as stoic as Zeno or Marcus Aurelius or any of these guys, and they may not have been as stoic as we would really like to believe that they were, since we hold them up as these gods among stoics in our minds frequently, too frequently, I would say, to the point of making them unhuman. As a for instance, if I didn't get paid to produce this podcast, I wouldn't be here, period. I couldn't be. There's no way. I wouldn't have time to write a book. I wouldn't have time to write thousands of words a week in scripts and blog articles. And I surely, absolutely, wouldn't have time to create daily content for our forthcoming app, which will be launched in a matter of days, by the way. Instead, I would have a real job, which is what my father would call it, and I'd be collecting a paycheck from an employer, probably in IT, and I'd be working for the weekend like so many, maybe most, other people do. But if I were a real stoic, what would I do? Would I even have a job? If I were a real stoic, wouldn't I live outside? Wouldn't I just eat beans and a bit of in-season fruit and bread? Wouldn't I offer myself up on some metaphoric sacrificial altar and want for nothing? Wouldn't I don the minimal amount of clothing and take to the streets and preach to passersby? Isn't that what a real stoic would do? And how about you? You go to work, right? You don't go because the virtue of serving your community is enough to live a happy life, do you? Of course you don't. Nobody does. You go to work because you need a paycheck. And I'm sure you believe, as I do, because I want to give you credit where it's due, that working is something a Prokopton ought to do. For me, that's this podcast. That's my job. But for you, it could be whatever your job is. And I am sure you genuinely believe it is an important thing to do. I'm not trying to take away from that. But let's all be real honest. The last reason we go to work every morning is because it's the virtuous thing to do. The truth is, we drag ourselves out of bed because we have to survive and we've got others to take care of. Now, if we didn't have those things, if we lived in a world where we didn't need money, que sera, sera, how beautiful that would be, perhaps we would find that we would still wake from our beds to do something, but it almost certainly would not be whatever it is that we're doing right now. Virtue is its own reward, and it may be the only good, but none of us seem fundamentalist enough in nature to think that a life well lived is one that is spent virtuously but living under a bridge. So maybe virtue, contrary to what the ancient Stoics would have said, isn't the only thing we need to be happy. And to those who would say, you can be happy living under a bridge, Tanner, if only you had the right mindset, well, I would invite them to try it. I have. I've eaten out of dumpsters, slept on benches in the rain, and relied on the kindness of others in order to eat, only to find that, most of the time, kindness was in scant supply. I don't want to eat just beans, bread, and in-season fruit. I don't want to live under a bridge. I don't want to be Diogenes. And by virtue of the fact that you're holding a device capable of listening to podcasts and browsing the internet, I bet you don't want to be Diogenes either. In this way, Stoicism might seem to have something in common with nihilism. Or more appropriately, contemporary Stoics might seem to have something in common with contemporary nihilists, in that nihilists say they're nihilists, but they don't live that way. None of them live that way. And we say we're Stoic, that virtue is the only good. But do any of us live that way? Do any of us live like the only thing we want or worry about is virtue? Certainly not. But what does this mean? Are we all a bunch of hypocrites? Or is something else going on? Enter the nuance. I think the Stoicism fanboys and fangirls tend to think that what a real Stoic ought to be building toward is some sort of ascetic lifestyle. And by ascetic, I don't mean like the cute coffee shop down the street with the baristas who are cooler than you are. That's aesthetic. I mean asceticism. Like a life of extreme self-discipline where we deny ourselves everything and live like a monk in the woods. Like a celibate monk in the woods who drinks water from a stream, is content with a cloth hanging over his ding-dong and not much else, and who probably sleeps on a rock, but not a smooth rock, because a smooth rock would be far too comfortable. Give me a bed of nails any day, am I right? This is more in alignment with cynicism than Stoicism, and to be honest and to be fair, it's not even that in alignment with cynicism. But in relation to Stoicism, you can't be some wacko monk in the woods wearing a wiener cloth and sleeping on nails if you believe in the concept of oikiosis, can you? How could one serve the cosmopolis and their circles of concern if one is living alone in the woods, mostly naked, near starving to death, and sleeping on uncomfortable rocks? Who would that behavior be for? It wouldn't be for the cosmopolis. And if it wouldn't be for the cosmopolis, then it wouldn't be Stoic. Stoics could, to be fair, if they're sages, live under such circumstances and not be bothered. But they wouldn't seek such circumstances out as if they were the point. Difficulty isn't the point of Stoicism. The obstacle isn't the way. The obstacle is a skills test nexus. That is to say, they are the point at which you can show what you know, but they aren't the answer. Unfortunately, so many young people seem to be seeking Stoicism out as a way of validating an idea of, usually, masculinity and lone wolfery that the Stoics would have scoffed at and mocked. The Stoics aren't about the hard life. They're about the good life. And if you achieve the good life, then you can thrive in a hard life. But acquiring a hard life is a stupid aim, not a Stoic one. Virtue is its own reward, and it's the only good, according to the Stoics. But virtue is achieved through our choices and how they affect those people, animals, and environments in our circles of concern. So while it might be its own reward, and the only good, it is concocted, or rather it is proofed, by how we serve the cosmopolis and our circles of concern as human beings. You cannot be virtuous if you don't care appropriately for the animals, for people, for the environments, for whatever is within your circles of concern. This means that Stoics hold firm the rudder of their ship, and they swing the jibs and crease the sheets and other sailing lingo that I've just recently Googled for the purposes of recording this episode, and they want things. They want to have a job they like. They want to have a family, perhaps. They want to have a little extra money in the bank, maybe a lot of extra money in the bank. They want to send their kids to summer camp if they have kids, maybe. They want to be successful. They want to be elected president of America or wherever they're from. And they want those things because Stoics aren't do-nothing doofuses subsisting on virtue alone and, to quote Poe from the Kung Fu Panda, universe juice. A Stoic wants all kinds of things because Stoics are humans, and it is human to want things and to contribute and to be part of a tribe. So we want stuff. We want to contribute and influence where we feel we can influence well, and we want to lead and we want to be part of stuff because we're humans. We're not Stoics, we're humans. Humans first, Stoics second, podcasters dead last, I'd reckon. Have I done something for the general interest? Well then, I have my reward. Let this always be present in thy mind and never stop doing such good. Let the good you do in the world be enough to satisfy your desire for needless recognition, and keep in mind that the good you do in the world is a Stoic focus, and keep doing and acting like as good a person as you can. Just remember that you cannot show your goodness without wanting to do stuff or have things. After all, what good is the knowledge of how to live excellently if you acquire it and then go sit in a bush all day? Get out there, chase the things you want, appropriately, participate in the cosmopolis, appropriately, and be a human being, appropriately. That is what this whole damn philosophy is about. Thanks for listening today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're not already a patron who supports my work, consider becoming one for just $5 a month by going to stoicismpod.com/members. I mentioned it earlier in the episode, but here's another reminder. Our app, which is called Stoicism 260, because it delivers Stoic content to you every weekday morning, of which there seem to be 260 in a given year. I hope my math is right. If not, hey, we've still got a name that sounds cool, Stoicism 260. And if you would like to learn more about that app and be alerted when it launches, go to stoicismpod.com/app and sign up for the wait list. Thanks again for listening. And until next time, take care.